same words. What I want us to think about as we think about the cross of Jesus Christ is the power of our Lord on that cross. Not just sometimes we just think about what the cross brought to us, the salvation that it brought, the blood that was shed. But I want us to think about the man hanging there and the impact his actions on that cross had on the people that were looking at it. The ones with, we look at it in faith side, but they were looking at it with physical eyes at what was going on that cross. Some 3 hours went by. It is just before about the sixth hour. Jesus' mother in that time has come to the cross and he has said, "Behold your son," looking at John, and told John, "Behold your mother." And from that day forward, it says that John took her into his home and took care of her, his mother. Jesus, the son, the oldest son, commending the care of his mother. But just before noon, one of those thieves on the cross, as we go over to Luke and his account in chapter 23, one of those thieves on the cross looks at Jesus Christ and he says, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked that thief, the other thief, the one on the other side, and said, "You know what we are receiving, we deserve. This man has done nothing wrong." He looks to Jesus and he says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus says, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." So we see this first person here, this person that was hung on a cross, either on the right or left of Jesus, but hung on the cross there in moments or hours earlier, he was casting insults at the Lord. And yet some 3 hours later, something has changed this man. And he's no necessarily closer to death than he was 3 hours ago when he was hanging and insulting. But something has changed the man. I submit that it was Jesus. I submit this man watched our Lord hang. I submit, I heard this man heard him say, "Father, forgive them." He saw Jesus Christ, and it changed his life. It changed his eternal destination too. After this point, after this man says this, the Bible tells us that at the sixth hour, noon, that day, that everything went dark. And we seem to move forward rapidly close to the ninth hour of the day, about 3 o'clock, and Jesus cries out into the darkness, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" People there in the crowd said, "He's calling for Elijah," hearing Eli. "He's calling for Elijah." And Jesus seems right on the heel of them saying that, says, "I thirst." And a man takes a stick and he puts a sponge on it and he runs and he dips it in sour wine and he puts it to the mouth of our Lord. And our Lord tastes what it is and he doesn't want it and he will not receive it. Yet we see what appears to be an act of compassion is really just an act of, let's see if he can live a little longer and maybe Elijah will come. Because somebody says, "Let's see if Elijah will come." Shortly thereafter, our Lord again speaks at the ninth hour and says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It is finished. And the Bible says he cried out in a loud voice and breathed his last. It is what happens next that should show us the power of Jesus Christ, the man on the cross. That hardened Roman centurion that's been standing, as the Bible says, before the cross, looking literally straight at Jesus Christ, standing there watching this entire scene, a man who had done this no telling how many times, a hardened soldier who had seen death, he'd seen men suffer. He was not the man to be easily swayed. Probably a man steeped in paganism. And yet, not only does the Bible say that he said what he said because of the things that happened, the earth shook, right? In the darkness, but not only because of that, but it says, but seeing the manner in which he died. One account does, and the other account says, seeing the things that happened. So both things taken and put together, the life that Jesus lived, the death that he died, what he saw that man endure. He heard people probably say things to Jesus Christ that if they had said it to him, they'd have got the sword, right? But yet Jesus took it in perfect self-control. And he said, truly this man was the Son of God. But not only that. The very people who 6 hours ago were crying, crucifying, crucifying, crucifying. Those very same people, Luke tells us. And all the crowds who came together for this spectacle, when they observed what had happened, began to return, beating their breasts. Jesus on the cross, them seeing him on the cross, crying 6 hours earlier, crucifying, crucifying. Now they go home beating their chest, which in that society, in that culture, is a sign of great sorrow when they realized what they had done. Jesus changes people. Jesus on the cross radically changes people. My friends, there's a reason we take the Lord's Supper every Sunday morning. It is so, just like the centurion, it is so, just like the thief, just like the people that cried, crucify him, it is so we can see Jesus on the cross, dying. And that sight, in faith's eye, will impact us like it impacted all those there that day. May it do that. There is no greater event for you. There is no greater thing that ever happened for you than what happened on that Friday in Jerusalem so long ago. This evening you have an opportunity to become a child of God, not because you're great, not because you're wonderful, but because that man hung and died on that cross on that dark day. He paid your price. He was your sacrifice. He shed the blood to wash away your sin. Don't let that be in vain. Respond to his gospel tonight. If you're a child of God, you are a child of God tonight, not because you're so smart or you're so good or because you know so much Bible. I'm not a child of God because I preach sermons. I'm a child of God because a man hung on a cross and died for me and shed his blood that I might look at him and say, truly he was and is the Son of God. This evening, come to him if you have a spiritual need as we stand and as we sing.